But we want to just take a moment to dedicate a Sunday morning just where we talk about those values, why they're important. So the first one we're going to tackle is that God's Word is powerful. And just entitled the message, The Delight of God's Word. You can do whatever you want. You can call it whatever you want, I guess. But it is going to be talking about God's Word. I want you just to think, when I grew up in the church, and I realize that isn't everybody that grew up in the church. How many grew up in church? I don't care, you know, Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian Assembly. Okay, you grew up in the church. 12 years of Catholic school. How did you? You know, when I was growing up, I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, right? Yeah, and maybe a few other times, and then we'd have evangelists come through a couple times a year, so that would go Sunday through Friday, right? And they would be in the evenings, right? Remember those days? And then we had Sunday school there before the worship service there on Sundays, right? There would be a Sunday school. And so people knew the stories of the Bible. They knew God's Word. That has really flipped, just as you look at the statistics. Just Bible illiteracy in our country right now is at kind of like an all-time low. So discipleship, getting back into God's Word is important. So the ladies have been reading through the Bible this year, right? Okay, right? You've been reading through the Bible. You have to jump back in. It gets better. Yeah. She got into Judges, and I think it hurt her, ruined her. Yeah. You know, and that's one thing you get in the Old Testament. It records stuff that happened. It doesn't say, hey, it's God's Word. It is God's Word, but it recorded the events, good and bad, that happened through the Old Testament. So there's some stuff there that kind of makes you like, ooh, boy, tough times. And just another statistic, you go back 30, 40 years, a person would attend church 3 out of 4 Sundays, okay? 3 out of 4 Sundays a month, they would be in church. Today, that number is actually flipped, so people are making it 1 out of 4 Sundays a month. And because of that, you're going to have Bible illiteracy. And I think people are relying upon Sunday mornings to get them through, or maybe a Sunday morning service to get them through, or a small group. But think about that. How many of you could survive on one meal a week? I would look thinner, but how many could survive? I don't think it's possible, could you? I don't think you couldn't sustain yourself. And spiritually, we cannot sustain our soul. If that's the only time we are taking time to eat is on a Sunday morning, it's not going to be enough. And even if you get a small group in there throughout midweek, 2 meals a week, you're still not going to be able to do it, folks. You're going to be skin and bones, and you'll die. We have to become students of God's Word, okay, as the body and the people of God. And so this morning is going to be a little more practical, okay? I'm just giving it, and I share this sometimes in a more of a small group setting. Some of it, but I've always gotten good comments on it, and it's been helpful to people, so we're going to touch upon that. So before we begin, let's just bow our heads in prayer, and then we're going to dive in together. So Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your Word that you've given to us. We thank you that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and Lord God, we thank you for those that pen down the words of revelation that were given to them in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that help guide and direct our lives today, that reveal you, that reveal your truth and who you are. And Lord God, we give you the thanks, we give you the praise, and we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So the first principle in your program there, you can write it in, is that you need to find a Bible that suits you. Okay, find a Bible that suits you. Now that can mean different things, and we'll talk more about that. But Psalms 119:97 says, oh, how I love your law, I meditate on it all day long. So we've talked about Psalms 119 this summer, but each verse talks about God's Word. It talks about His instruction, His precepts, His law. Okay, each verse of those 170-some verses talk about God's Word. The psalmist says, I love your law, I love your Word, in other words, what he's saying. And back then, what did he have? He had probably the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, some of the psalms maybe, but he was writing the psalms, right? So he mainly had those four books, and they were four or five books, but they were also then just scrolls, okay? They weren't your own copy of God's word, right? Okay, it was a scroll. And often if they wanted to hear it, they went to the temple to hear it being read, okay? So in order to love God's word, we have to have a Bible that works for us. So that's why I say find a Bible that suits you. So I'm going to mention three versions that I think are good. First of all, the ESV version. If you're a little more of the studious type, it's a good translation, okay? The ESV, very good. It's a little more literal than maybe some of the others, okay? Then NIV, I grew up on the NIV, and they had a major translation revision 2011. So if yours is before that, and you read scripture, sometimes it's not going to line up with there because the major revision in 2011. But it's a good middle-of-the-road translation. It's accurate. It translates it in words that we can understand, usually. And, okay? And by that, I mean, if you have the old King James, or some of you, maybe you were raised on the King James, and that works for you. If it works for you, great. I'd maybe encourage you to go to the new King James because it fixes some of the things, but it's written in King James English, right? And so there's some things that you're going to miss in today's language. And then there's the NLT, New Living Translation. Now, when I was young, there was the Living Bible. It was this green colored hard copy, you know, hardcover. And that was kind of more of a paraphrase. I would not recommend that. It's good as an extra source, maybe help understand things, but not as your main Bible. So NLT, I really do love, folks. And it's a little more contemporary in that it helps to translate some things for you so you don't have to. That's good and bad. Okay? Let me illustrate. Okay, Chris, are you ready for this? So I was reading in Proverbs chapter 6, 26, okay? And this part was just kind of, you know, I'm reading through it and it kind of just got me, okay? And Proverbs talks about the dangers of wealth, pride, sex, all those type of good things. He's writing it to his son. So I'm reading this in the NIV and it says, "For a prostitute can be had for a loaf of bread, but another man's wife preys on your very life." Now I was reading that, and that's the newer revision of the NIV, but it just wasn't clicking with me. I was kind of like, prostitute, so in other words, the prostitute is cheap, you know, and I mean that just for a loaf of bread, okay? That really wasn't making sense to me, okay? And so I was trying to understand that. So then I went to the ESV, and I can do that on my phone. I got a Bible app that allows me to do those. So the ESV says, "For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life," okay? In other words, if you mess with a married woman, there's somebody coming after you, okay? All right? And in more ways than one. Adultery, what was the penalty for adultery back in biblical times? Death, yeah. Yeah, it was. Okay, so I looked at the ESV, and then I went to the Young's Literal Translation. So this is very literal, the Greek and Hebrew. "For a harlot consumeth unto a cake of bread, and an adulteress the precious soul hunteth." Don't you love that? Yeah, so this is very literal, kind of going. So when I talk about literal, we're talking going right from the Hebrew, from the Greek, kind of just literally transferring that across. So a more contemporary version is going to smooth that out for you, okay? I mean, it's like taking Spanish into English. If we were to translate it literally, it's going to mix up the order of words in a sentence, okay? There's different, and in Greek is a lot like Spanish, okay? Some similar makeup. So that was helpful. But then I went to, what's the last one I went to, Chris? Okay, go to that one. New American Standard. "For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life." So now that's making a little more sense to me. And now I come to the New Living Translation, and notice how they make some judgment calls for you, but I agree with them. "For a prostitute will bring you to poverty so that you only have a loaf of bread. But sleeping with another man's wife will cost you your life." See how that works? So they're helping you out. They're making, so the New Living Translation is a good translation. Most of the things that I've learned there have been helpful. Usually I haven't disagreed with how they've made that, but they're making judgment calls. So a literal translation isn't going to do that for you. It's going to be literal, but sometimes you have to do more work then to understand that and get at what they're meaning there. Because, all right, we'll go on from there. I'm going to come back to Nineveh. Okay. Secondly, you need to pick one that meets your needs, okay? So find a translation that works for you, and then pick one that meets your needs. Now, I picked out a new Bible here just within the last year. And can you get that out of my... It's in my backpack in the office. I was going to bring it up here. Not that I don't have enough up here already. But you need to make sure one that has a big enough font size, okay? So if you're not 18 or 20... Okay, if you're in that 40 or 50, something happens to your eyeballs, all right? So you want to get something that's probably a 12 to 13 point font. Look at that. Look at those details. Because if you can't read it, you're not going to love it, right? Make sure it has some white space. White space means that there's a little more, they're not all crammed together. There's a little more white space. It's easier on your eyes, so you're going to read it better, all right? So I really like this ESV Study Bible for that, is that it has a lot of white space. It's also a study Bible. The font's big enough. do you want reference notes in it or not? Okay? So there's cross-reference notes in there. Find a Bible that works for you. Do you want a study Bible? So this is a study Bible. It has notes under, and it helps you understand verses of Scripture that are there. Okay? Do you want hardcover or do you want leather? Who has leather? Anybody have leather? Chuck, you have leather there? Yeah. Kind of leather imitation, right? You got leather, yeah. What color do you like? You want black? Do you want your favorite sports teams? Did you know they have that? You know, if you have a favorite sports team. You can get synthetic. So the one I have now is synthetic. I never thought I would go that way, but I like it. So get a color that you love. And maybe you want electronics. So I can get, it was in that pocket. It's actually in that box, but I keep it in my box so it keeps new. But I actually have almost a whole library just on my phone, okay? And I realize not everybody can do that, and I have to pay dearly for that, all right? But I can do that. But maybe you have electronic version, so you can go to the U version. A lot of you have that on your phone. If you don't have it, I'd encourage you to download it. You can get all the different translations there. It's accessible. You can post to Facebook a scripture that means something to you. You can post it up there. And share it with other people and be a blessing to other people. I'd encourage you to have a printed copy and electronic. Okay, just in the day and age we live in, there's some nice things about the electronic version. Okay, yeah, so this is the one I got. So it's the NIV, all right? And it's a thin reference, but I did a lot of looking around because I wanted to have the features that I wanted to. One was the big enough font, and it has cross references in there. It has red letter. But look at how nice it bends. So, but it's synthetic. That kind of looks kind of cool. I kind of like it. So it even has grippy here so that if I'm really preaching hard, I'm not going to lose my grip on it. All right? Those are just some practical tips, folks. And the bottom line is find a Bible that you fall in love with. Because if you love it, you're going to pick it up and you're going to read it. That's the whole goal. If you don't like the font, if you don't like the translation, it's not working for you, you're not going to read it. Find something that works for you and get into it. Secondly, be a student of God's Word. Paul told Timothy, his young pastor, he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one who is approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but who correctly handles the word of truth. I was listening to a podcast coming down from South Dakota one day, and they were interviewing a pastor that's up out on the East Coast in the Carolinas. It's Assembly of God Church. But the guy that was interviewing does trips to Israel. And he said, you know, we've always been impressed with the people of your church because they are literate. They understand Scripture. When we talk about stories in the Holy Land, it's not foreign to them. They understand. He goes, the reason why we're interviewing you today is because we want to know what you do in raising up your people so that they understand Scripture. And he said, one of the key things is that we tell people is that they must be a student of the Word. If you're dependent upon me, your pastor, to spoon feed you, okay, and I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, but maybe I do. I think our society has become too dependent upon, they're getting the Word from their pastor on a Sunday morning, but they're not being a student of God's Word throughout the week. You following me? You have to be, if you want to grow in God's Word, it has to be more than Sunday morning. I do work to get ready for Sunday mornings. It takes me over 10 hours to get ready for a Sunday morning to do the work. What would happen if you put in that work in your own life to study God's Word and wrestle with it? That's where you get those gems of truth that speak to you, is when you dig in and become the student of God's Word. You learn much more being the teacher than you do the student. You ever been in that? Right? When you are the teacher, when you're the one, you're learning a lot more because you have to be familiar with it. Be a student of God's Word. You know, you can understand the basics of interpretation. Those are important. I cover that in class. But you know, context is everything. And so, one of the words we talked about here, we did the parable of the talents in Matthew. So talent could mean a couple different things, right? It can mean what? Could mean I can do a certain sport, right? I have a talent. But in biblical times, and what that parable is talking about, a talent meant what? It was a measurement of money, okay, of gold and silver. It was a measurement. So talent, just in that usage alone, can mean two different things. What helps us to understand what is meant there? It's the context, right? The words that surround that word, whether it's in the sentence, the paragraph, the chapter, the book of the Bible, the New Testament or Old Testament, context is very crucial. Now, one verse that I hear used a lot is Jeremiah 29:11. What is it? "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." Wow, isn't that a good verse? But God wasn't talking to you. Who is he talking to? This is a very specific word for a certain group of people. Anybody know? Spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. It's written to the Israelites there in Babylon because they're on their time out, they're in exile, and they're on their way to come back. And God says to them, he goes, "I know the plans I have for you. I'm not going to leave you there. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to desert you, but I have plans for you to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." They were being disciplined. They were being corrected, but God never forgot Israel. Now, that was the word for them. But see, we have to understand, who was it written to? What was the audience? And then I can take the principle from there and say, you know what? God does have plans for our life. You know, and even if when he puts you on time out, he hasn't forgotten about you, folks. Okay? Maybe he's done some discipline. You go, "Woe is me," right? You're in the lion's den. But God says, "You know what? I have plans for you to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future." To me, that has much more weight, much more power to it when we understand the message that is behind it. Amen? Take advantage of a good study Bible, commentaries, those good things. This is what Paul says again to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. He says, "But as for you, continue," so he's talking to Timothy, "in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know that from whom you've learned it." He learned it from his mother and his grandmother. "And how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed, inspired. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So if you go through a lot of times a doctrine course, you have to memorize that. If you go through missionettes, Royal Rangers, you had to memorize that. All Scripture is beneficial for teaching, rebuking. Ooh. But sometimes we need to read the Word of God. We need to read Proverbs and realize, you know what, there's consequences if you mess around. Okay? It's going to come back and bite you. I need that. Correcting, training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Be a student of God's Word. Thirdly, hide God's Word in your heart. Going back to Psalms 119, the psalmist says, "How can a young person, young man, young woman, stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Now, how can we hide God's word in our heart? One is find a reading plan that works for you. So if you open up the YouVersion, I'm going to disappear for a minute online. All right. But if you open up YouVersion, on your app. You know, not only you can pick all sorts of different translations, but you can go to home. Oh, no, they're right in the center. You got plans on your app there. So you can get plans there. Oh, yeah, I want to know more about love or anxiety. So there's actually plans. You can go through there, and it'll walk you through that. Some of them are 5 a week or 2. New to faith. So if I'm just starting out with God, I can go there. Marriage, dating, work, leadership, prayer, worship, forgiveness, faith, divorce, women, men, youth, kids. Find a way to get into God's Word. But also memorize God's Word. I remember back in the day that was a big stress. You know, and we do that on discovery clubs, right? We memorize. They're encouraged to memorize and to get into God's Word. Because we need God's Word within our heart. That's how we hide it there. One passage that was very significant to me, I guess I'm going to refer to that in the end. All right? Memorize God's Word. Get into it. Meditate on it. If you memorize it, then you can meditate it on at work, in class, whatever the case may be. It's there so that you don't even have to have a copy of God's Word because it's written on your heart. Amen? Number 4, obey God's Word and let it transform your life. That's the important part, folks. James 1:21 through 25 says there, 4, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the Word of God planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the Word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Isn't that novel? Anyone who listens to the Word of God and does not do what it says is like the man who looks at his face in the mirror, says, this is my mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what they do. Amen? James says, hey, don't just read the Word of God, do it. The Nike slogan, just do it, right? Just do it. Jesus put it this way, Matthew 7:24-27, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, if you really do some work into that, you'll find out that if when they built houses in Israel, what this is really meaning is if you built a house just on the top soil, when the rains came, it was going to be washed away. But in Israel, there's bedrock. And that's what you want to build your house upon. But in order to get to the bedrock, you had to dig down 3, 4, 5 feet until you hit rock. You hit that bedrock. Once you hit there, then that's what you would build your house upon. Now, you could probably save money by building your house on that topsoil. It would look really nice. You would save money. You go, whoo, man, we saved some money, right? But all of a sudden, the rains come. And all of a sudden, the house begins to slide. And it's destroyed. But the wise person digs down. But, you know, to get to that bedrock is a lot of work, folks. It's a lot of work. Pickaxe. They didn't have a backhoe back in those days. They had to dig down by hand to get down to that rock. But once they built upon that rock, then they had a sure foundation. The same is for us, folks, is that if we are going to be the people of God that He's called us to be, we have to be people that love God's Word and that are willing to put in the work to build our life on the rock of God. That means finding a time that we can read God's Word, whether it's morning. The benefit of morning is that I read it in the morning and I can think about it throughout the day. Now, if you want to read it at night, maybe you Do it morning and evening. I don't know. Or you can do it in the evening, middle of the day. Find a time that works for you. Something's better than nothing, right? Find a time that works for you. Get into God's Word. Wrestle with it. And by wrestle with it, Pastor Andy, when he does his messages, you know, he's gotten to the place where I'd have to help him out quite a bit initially, but now he's doing that work himself, okay? And he knows what it means to have to wrestle with it, because sometimes you read it and you want to present it, but you have to boil it down and say, what is this really saying? You have to wrestle with it. Because sometimes it's not just black and white. You have to find out, what is it saying to me? But once you find that, then it becomes truth to you. It becomes truth. There's no substitute for God's Word. And I think in our culture, we're bombarded by social media, by TV, by friends, by norms of our culture that is telling us what is contrary to God's Word. Right? And if you're listening to all those other things 8 hours a day, your phone will actually tell you how much time you're spending on there. How many hours a day in your, say 8 hours. I'm just throwing it out there. And how many minutes or hours are you spending in God's Word? What's going to have the most impact upon your life? Probably the one you're putting the most time into, right? Paul again says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and perfect will. If we're going to honor God, we have to know what His Word says so that we can do it. Amen? Have the musicians come. I just want to end on the note of memorization. One guy says, you know what? I can't memorize Scripture. The pastor says, yeah, you can do it. He goes, no, I memorize it. And I get into it and I memorize it. He goes, it's just like I'm a sieve. He goes, I just pour the water in and it goes right out. The pastor said, you know what? That may be the truth, but at least you have a clean sieve. All right? All right? You're getting it through your life. But I memorized a lot of Scriptures down through the years. But one of my favorites is Psalms 91, 1 through 2. We talked about that as the COVID thing started, because it talks about just that God's going to protect us in the deadly pestilence. But verses 1 and 2 said that whoever dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. And I just remember committing that to memory when I, right after I got out of Bible college, I did carpentry at the Bible college I was at and was a youth pastor. Amy was still finishing out school. I just remember going back to that verse throughout the day, that whoever abides in the presence of the Almighty, God's presence is there and He's our refuge and fortress. Another one I remember is 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can stand up under. And I forgot the last part. He will also provide a way out so you can endure it when you are tempted. Amen? Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it about, will complete it. How many like that verse? It's just a great verse of encouragement, right? There's days you think, God, have You deserted me? We have a setback and failure. But see, God's word to Timothy, or from Paul to the Philippian church there, be confident of what God has begun in your life. He's going to bring it to completion. You know, maybe some of our houses have a lot of things laying around of uncompleted tasks and chores. You started something, didn't finish it, right? God's not going to forget about you. He's working in your life right now and in your heart. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? God's Word is more than just a textbook. It is the living Word of God, as I like to refer to it, because as I open up, wherever I'm at, and I start reading it or listen to it, And the Spirit of God is there, it becomes living because it begins to speak to me. It guides me. It challenges me. It helps me to know what my life should look like. It becomes that foundation of truth that I look to. Amen? I want to lead us in a prayer of salvation and then just a prayer for all of us. If you don't know Christ, you've never just taken that step, and today you want to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have the hope of heaven and that Christ is your Lord and your Savior. You may be even raised in the church, but you just don't know if you're to die today, right now, if you'd make it to heaven. Scripture says we can know. We can know. And so I believe that if you mean this prayer, it becomes your prayer, that I believe He honors that. He'll come into your heart. He'll extend His forgiveness, His grace, His mercy. And it begins a journey with Him. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Would you pray with me, saying, "Dear God, come into my heart and into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and my Savior. And help me in this journey to know you more. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen." And Father, this morning I pray that you would all make us students of God's Word, that it becomes our love, our delight, that it's not a chore, it's not something that we check off on our to-do list, but it becomes something that guides our life. It becomes who we are, dear God. Because in it we have knowledge of you, but we also know God. And we come to know you through your Word, Lord God. There can't be any shortcuts, God. It's only as we get into your Word that our lives are changed and transformed and renewed by you. So, Lord God, that is our prayer this morning. Take us back to where we need to be. Allow us to develop the disciplines and the practices that will benefit our life and allow us to grow in you. We ask. Lord, this morning, if we've drifted from where we need to be, just as far as being in your Word, Lord God, this morning, would you bring us back this morning? For some of us, man, it's all new territory for us. But for some of us, we've gotten lax just in being in God's Word. We've lost sight for whatever reason, distractions, whatever. And God, you're calling us back. You're calling us back to your Word so that it can change and transform us. That it can be the rock for our life during a difficult time, so that it can be our joy and our peace in turbulent times. That it can be our vision when there's confusion. God, let your Word speak to us today. Lord, go with your people today. Let your blessing be upon us. May your face shine upon us, Lord God. Extend to us your grace, your mercy, your hope, and your strength. We give you the thanks. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hey, God bless you this morning. If you're the college students, hang around. Pizza should be coming. If you need prayer this morning, I'm going to step off to the side here and I'll pray with you. I'll mask up just so that just for safety. But if you do need prayer, I'll agree with you this morning. I'll take a moment. I'll be over there if you need prayer. And greet each other as you leave. And God bless you this morning.